Blog Talk Radio.
This is Colin from Can I Justify. You're rocking Attitude Era Live with Icon, Granny Hawkster, and Big Twin.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday night. It is Attitude Era Live time on 89.1 KINZ FM, and we are here to rock the masses just like always, and we are here again. We have Granny out there in Arkansas. How are you?
Well, I'm okay, Icon. I'm ready for another great show on KINZ FM. I hope I don't lose my signal tonight. We've got some pretty bad storms going on right now in Arkansas and Oklahoma, so we'll see what happens.
All right, and then we have the modern nightmare, Matthias. How are you?
Well, after a nice little break and a happy new year type situation, I'm ready to get on live again on Attitude Era Monday Live Monday.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, we got a blockbuster show like always. We got three great blockbuster guests to start our first show in the year 2023, episode number 299. And, well, I'll tell you what, Matthias, so why don't you tell us what's been keeping busy with you, and then Granny can tell us what's up with you, then I'll be right back to you guys and let you know what's up with me.
Well, basically, in the world of North Dakota's number one heel, the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, nothing too much, you know, just went and had a little bit of a, well, I had to work New Year's Eve, unfortunately, which wasn't the funnest thing in the whole wide world, but, you know, I had to work that night at the windbreak, then got to celebrate yesterday with my woman and her kids and family and that kind of thing, then I came back today where I got to have the day off of work and got to hang out for a little bit. Now I'm here to do another radio show, just prepping for my show this upcoming Saturday in Mandan, North Dakota, EWI Resurrection, where I will be involved in the Royal Purge match for an opportunity to face Nick the Natural Nelson at Reprisal in Dickinson, April 8th, for the EWI Epic Championship.
All right, and Granny, what's up with you? I understand you got some bad weather going out there. They have a tornado warning out there in Arkansas right now.
Tornado watch right now till about 10 o'clock, but we got some pretty bad thunderstorms going on right now. So,
well, to be honest with you, I would much rather have thunderstorms than what we have outside right now in the parking lot of the studio, which is a whole lot of snow and there's more snow and there's more snow.
But y'all can keep it.
Yeah, well, okay. I think we will, at least until May, June, July, August. depends on what the weather's like, I guess. But anyway, let's go ahead and talk about who's going to be on our show tonight. Our first guest will be movie critic Ty Burr. Then we're going to have actress, director / producer, and that would be Debbie Cheney Perkins. And then we have the man that basically helped launch the E! Entertainment Network, A.J. Benza. Have you guys ever heard of any of those shows that he used to do, Mysteries and Scandals and all those?
I believe so.
All right.
Yes, I believe so.
All right, and his we can't do his famous tagline because we're on public radio, but fame ain't it a something. And I can't wait to hear him say that, but edited, of course. Let's kind of catch up with what's going on with me here. Unfortunately, the Ohio State Buckeyes did lose Saturday, so no national championship in the helm for them. Of course, Michigan lost as well. So we're both out. North Dakota State will be playing for the national championship next Sunday in Frisco, Texas, against our arch rival, South Dakota State. Can't wait for that. And unfortunately, Matthias, our football team came a little short against the Pack.
Yeah, that was quite was not pretty. But, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes you just don't have a good game, and we just didn't have a good game last or this weekend.
All right, Granny, what's been going on with the Chargers? Sorry, the Chiefs. What's
Bite
been going
your
on
tongue.
With the Chiefs?
Well, we beat Denver. I mean, they could have played a little bit better, but we did get the win, and you know, Sunday 27-24 against the Broncos. So I was happy about that after having a couple of rough days with some situations going on, but, you know, so.
Well, you know, and the way it stands right now, the Vikings can wrap up the second seed with a victory against Chicago and a loss by the 49ers to lock up the second seed. We had a chance to get the first seed, and we unfortunately blew that. I believe that nothing is stopping the Chiefs right now. I believe they got everything wrapped up on their end.
Well,
so,
see, this game tonight, Icon, against the Bengals and the Bills, that was going to determine the number one seed, whether or not Kansas City could get it. If Buffalo lost, then I believe Kansas City would have the number one seed in the AFC West. But due to the injury to DeMar Hamlin, and they suspended the game, and it looks like they're not going
they
to have the game tonight.
Yeah.
Everybody's going home, and, you know, unfortunately, your prayers go out to him and his family. I mean, this young man's only 24 years old, and they, from what I've been hearing, they had do CPR on him for about 10 minutes on the field while they were waiting for the ambulance to get there. So
yeah,
prayers for him and his family.
Yeah, I, you know, you guys were telling me a little bit about that on the air, or before we went on the air. I guess we got our main resident genius here, the owner of the station here. I don't know if you heard this or not, but during the Monday Night Football game, I guess he's, what, 25 years old?
24.
24 years old. Collapsed on the field.
Yeah, he was giving a hit to a Bengals player, and he tackled him like normal, but the person, like, ran into him a little, like, well, his neck kind of bounced back from what I saw. Like, he got hit. Like, he was running into him, and he got hit like normal, and then he tackled him like normal. Then all of a sudden he, like, stood up. And, like, after a step or two, he just collapsed, and he just fell. And then they did CPR for about 10 minutes, and last I heard, he was in the hospital. So prayers go out to him and the family. And it seems like these past few days we have lost an incredible amount of people. It's just been – these past few days have just been straight up just people – we're just losing a lot of people these past couple of days. It's been kind of a shock, especially in the wrestling industry or in personal lives. A lot of people have just been, these past couple of days have been going up to heaven. So it's been really strange, to say the least.
So is that like related to a, like a head concussion or something like that, that actually took him out?
I don't think
he got hit in the chest, like normal, like he stopped kind of, and the guy ran into him like he was going to tackle a running back. I think it was the running back, and he hit him. So when he hit him like normal, like his head kind of, you know, shook back a little bit, because once you get hit like with a tackle, your head kind of bounces back a little bit. And then he turned over the running back, and he landed on top of him. So it's not like he got crushed or anything. He landed on top of the running back. They did a spin, and then he pushed up off the running back to stand up, and then he just fell straight back.
So it was after he stood back up again is when he collapsed.
Yep. He stood back up.
That could still be some kind of a head concussion there.
Yeah, it could either
be.
Especially
when it sprung his neck like that.
It could either be his head. It could be he could have even, like, he could have had, like, a small heart attack, like, was how he got hit in the heart. It could have, the chest. It could have done something to his chest. You never know. It's just football, as we all know, is one of the more dangerous sports to be playing, especially with concussion protocol and stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, it's anything can happen at any point in time. And it was like, it wasn't even that bad of a hit. It was just the running back ran into him. He grabbed him. He spun. He landed on the ground and then just up and then straight back down again. You just never know.
That's, you know, I'll tell you what, and, you know, Matthias, you're a wrestler, and you you played football. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you've had any major injuries. I know that you've had, you've been known as a human pincushion, but have you had any major, like, concussion-type injuries in either of your careers?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've had collected, I believe, 12 concussions in the ring, some major, some minor. I've also had both my knees messed up in the ring. I've dislocated both my kneecaps multiple times to the point where I need to have a double knee replacement whenever my career is over. On the football field, I kind of sustained away from the injuries. Thank the good Lord. I never, besides maybe pulling a muscle or something and having to go on the sideline, stretch it out for a little bit. But the football field is where I got kind of lucky. On the injury prone, it was just wrestling that has been messing up my body. And I just want to say respect to the NFL for suspending the game after that. Like with Owen Hart, when he passed away, when he fell that long distance.
They should have stopped the
show. They should have stopped the show. But they kept on going, and they got so much backlash for that. So my hat goes out to the NFL for canceling the rest of the game and letting people go home and just, you know, watch out for DeMar and stuff like that. So, but like I said, wrestling was the only time, the only major injuries I've gotten. I've sustained off the football field, but if I ever lace up the pads again and put on the helmet and stuff, you never know what could happen. So,
well, you know, I myself have never had any major injuries, but I never really had any health issues either, except for I can say, and I hate to admit this, and I wish I didn't have to admit it, but I had two heart attacks in a matter of 2.5 weeks. And, of course,
was that before going to the bathroom or after?
That was before, actually. And 420 pounds I was back then. Well, you remember how big I was. And I'm 220 now, and I got corrected, and everything's good. But I think we're just about ready for our first guest, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going to take a quick little commercial break. We will be back after we hear these messages from our sponsor, probably my favorite commercial ever, and we will be back after we hear a little of our owner. Maybe.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new clocks are here. The new clocks are here. Yes, for a limited time, you can get your very own 89.1 KENS FM clock. For a $25 donation, you can get a classic analog round-faced clock with the 89.1 KENS FM logo on the front. Just go to our website, www.kensfm.com, and under the More Merch tab, you will find the clocks along with numerous other new merch you can order. Get yours now while supplies last. We have these in limited quantity, so order now at www.kensfm.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, about to enter the studio right now, he's going to tell us all about what it's like to be the greatest movie critic in the history of cinema. Ladies and gentlemen, it's cold outside. Just ask him by his name. He is Ty Burr.
Hello. Hello, this is Ty Burr. You're listening to the Attitude Era of Monday, Live Monday on 89.1 KENS FM with your host, the Icon, the Big Swing, the Godmother of Wrestling, Granny Hulkster, and the Modern Nightmare, Matthias.
All right. Well, hey, I'll tell you what. Here's what we're going to do here, Ty. We're going to have some fun with you, and we got about 30 minutes here with you. But what we're going to do here is, first off, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, and then I'll ask you a few questions, and we'll do a roundtable. Then we're going to come back to me, and I'm going to ask you the tougher questions.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
So,
what
go
do you
ahead. Give us
first?
A little background then.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I was a movie critic for 20 years at the Boston Globe. I wrote for 11 years before that at Entertainment Weekly. I've been in love with movies since I was a kid and got turned on to the Marx Brothers, as you know, by my dad as a kid. And I love writing about movies. I've written 2 books about movies. And I love. And now I'm running an email newsletter called Ty Burr's Watch List, which tells people what movies to watch on all the streaming channels that we subscribe to.
All right. And you We actually, just to give, I'm starting to give a little background of our guest here. We actually booked you as a guest about 2 weeks after your birthday on August 17th. I figured a great little birthday present would be to have you grace our show after the new year. So welcome.
Thank you. That's a nice birthday present. I'm belated, but I appreciate it.
So I guess my first question to you is, being a movie critic, how many people in Hollywood don't like you?
You know, they tolerate me. They tolerate me, you know, because I can be good for business. I once had a movie distributors, I gave a review. I gave three and a half stars. We get, you know, 1 to 4 stars. And I had the distributor executive call me back and write me an email and say, you know, you couldn't have squeezed one more half star out of your pen, because as far as he's concerned, 4 stars he can put on the poster, 3.5 stars he can't. You know, when we like their movies, they love us. When we don't like their movies, there's a lot of movies that it doesn't matter what the critics say. You know, if it's, you know, Transformers, the critics hate those movies. It doesn't matter. They make a ton of money. And so what? You know, what I like doing is leading people to movies that they might not have heard of, that the ones that aren't getting, you know, a $50 million marketing budget, that aren't everywhere in the multiplexes. Some of those can be great, and I love talking about them when they are good. But I also like leading people to things they might not have known.
And one other thing that I thought was cool is you used to work for HBO, did you not, back in 82 to 87?
That's because you've got my resume in front of you, don't you? I did. I had a job that was called Film Evaluator. I was basically an in-house movie critic. I would, you know, the movie studios would send, there were like 6 of us. They would send us, videotapes at that point. They were 3/4-inch tapes. I don't know if you remember those.
Sure.
Their movies, or we'd screen them, and we'd write up basically in-house reports saying, you know, buy this movie, don't buy this movie, schedule it here, promote it this way. And I ended up, and I'll tell you a little secret, just between you and me and your many, many listeners, I ended up, because I was kind of a new kid, and I ended up being the Skinemax guy. That was kind of one of my areas of expertise. Remember, you know, movies like Hots, and, you know, Emmanuel.
Great cinema classic, by the way. I own the deluxe DV on Blu-ray.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've had men in their 30s thank me for making their adolescence possible by some of the movies that I put out there.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions about HBO, and then we'll do a roundtable, and we're going to come back and I'm going to ask you the tougher stuff. But I don't know if you were there for HBO for these things I'm going to name, but I'll tell you what, my favorite things about HBO were a series called Brain Games. Do you remember that? Were you there for that?
I do indeed, yes.
And Fraggle Rock?
Yep, I was there for Fraggle Rock. Yep. I don't know whether we're talking about your childhood here or your adolescence or your kid's childhood. I don't know how old you are, but yeah, no, Fraggle Rock is. You remember Max Headroom? I was around for that.
Yeah, I do. Max Headroom, yep. Probably my two favorite things about HBO. I actually had to sneak up and watch it when I was a kid after my parents went to bed, but because that was the only one that had cable, it was a TV in the living room, was the series Hitchhiker.
Yes.
And
yes.
First and Ten.
Oh, yeah. Great show. Go ahead.
Well, I'm proud to say I have every episode of First and Ten on Deluxe Edition DVD as well.
Oh, That's a rarity. Good. Hold on to that. I was there, like, you know, I was there when they were just starting to do original programming. When I got there, I started HBO in 1982. It was basically movies and boxing, and that was it. And by the time I left 7 years later, they were doing a lot of original programming. They'd started, making movies. I used to work on the same floor with the sports section of HBO, and when the executive who was in charge of boxing. This is when they had like Marvin Hagler on. And when the executive who was the executive who was in charge of dealing with Don King would put him on speakerphone, you could hear him the entire floor. You could hear him from one end of the floor to the other end of the floor. That's how loud that guy was.
That's awesome. We have a Ty Burris, I guess, here on 89.1 KENS FM. We got about 24 minutes here. You know, you mentioned about tapes. I'm going to introduce you to our next co-host. It's Granny Hulkster. And she remembers when things used to come on plastic cylinders. So, Granny, what do you got for our guest? Go ahead, Ty Burr, go ahead.
Well, welcome to the show. And I'm only, yes, I am 60 years old, and I'm proud of my age. I'm not ashamed of talking about my age. But, you know, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on. What is your, let's see, how do I want to word this? What's been your most interesting time, you know, that you being a movie critic, what has been some of your biggest challenges or your most memorable time of doing what you do?
And you can't say the show because that'd be too easy.
Yeah, okay. Well, then second to that would be some of the people I've talked to over the years have been a great deal of fun, you know, because not only am I, you know, reviewing movies, but I've done interviews with a lot of directors and actors, and, you know, have interviewed Tim Burton, who's a lovely, lovely person, and some of the actors of Elijah Wood when he was a younger kid. I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and one of the dirty little secrets of this, and you probably know this because you interview so many people, is that these people are really generally speaking, nice people who just want to have their work seen. I remember I had a long talk with Ben Affleck when Argo was coming out, and he just wanted people to see this movie that he'd poured so much of himself into. And this is a guy who's taken a lot of knocks from the press, you know, deserved or not, that's up to you. But he, you know, he was so eloquent talking about this movie that he'd really, you know, put a lot of himself into. So that's nice when you get to meet these people, and they're just people. They're just people doing their job. You know, and every now and then you run into somebody who's got a big head, but it's rarer than you might think. The other challenge is when, actually, you know, it's the easiest thing to write a review about a movie you love. It's the easiest thing to do to write a movie about, write a review about a movie you hate. And I could tell you, when I watched Cats, the claws came out, you know, just because that movie needed to be put down like the stray animal it was. But writing a movie that you just kind of feel, writing a review of a movie you just kind of feel meh about, that's hard. You got to fill some space there. You got to tell people why they might want to see it if they were into the particular genre, you know, that it's about, or why they might want to steer clear of it. You know, that's when you kind of earn your ducats.
That's awesome. Now I'm going to talk to you about a role that me and Matthias have been asked to be in. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but I'm going to introduce you to the Modern Nightmare Matthias first. And then I'm going to play a little treat for you and tell me if you recognize the song. And then we'll buddy you up to give us a good review on the movie that we're going to be in. And then I'm going to ask you the tougher question. So what do you got, Matthias? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first off, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, Matthias here. Welcome on to my part
of
the program. None at all. I guess my main question to you, being a film critic and all, was there a film that you watched and you gave a review on and you wrote one? Has there been one that you watched, done a review on, and either felt like you did the movie dirty and wanted to redo it, or has there one that you've done but then taken a watch back at the film that you did a review on, and then you felt like, oh, maybe I could, and then maybe you felt a little different and wrote a different review, anything like that?
Rarely have I written a second review. And that rarely happens, although there is a famous case of it. You know the movie Bonnie and Clyde? You know, the classic one with Warren Beatty? So when that came out, a lot of the old guard critics hated it. They thought it was too violent. And there was a guy named Joe Morgenstern who actually is still writing for the Wall Street Journal. I know Joe. He's a sweet guy. But he panned the movie, Bonnie and Clyde, when it first came out, gave it a lousy review. And then his wife said, I want to go see the movie. So he went to see it a second time, saw it in a theater with an audience, and came out and said to her, you know what, I think I got this one wrong. And he actually wrote a second review where he recanted, he took back the first review. That's rare. I will say that one of the hardest things to do is they screen a movie, and then the deadline is I have to sit down literally right after watching the movie and bang out the review, because it needs to run in the paper that day. That doesn't happen very often. They usually show it to us, you know, a week or two ahead of time. But every now and then it happens. So I don't know if you remember this very, very strange Jennifer Lawrence movie called Mother. I don't know if it's about 5 years ago. And I saw that at I was screening it, had to turn around the review, did not get the movie, did not get what the movie was about, did not get that it was actually sort of like a Garden of Eden allegory, that there was whole sorts of like biblical metaphors going on in there. Totally missed the boat, and wrote a review that did not deal with the movie the way it should have. So yeah, I did go back and write something that said, you know what, I missed the boat on what this movie was about. I still don't think it's a great movie, but at least I understand now where it's coming from. So, you know, you just try and be honest with yourself and try and be honest with your reader.
Yep. Ty Burr is our guest here on 89.1 KENS FM. We got about 19 minutes here with Ty. Now, for those of you who listen to our radio show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, you like that, go to 89.1 KENS FM page, like that, do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you qualified to win an autographed picture from past guests, current guests, or future guests. Ty, I don't know if you've ever asked this, but would you be willing to send us a few autographs for giveaways?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Now, I'm going to play something for you, Ty. I'm going to see if you recognize the theme song, and you can tell me if you were around for that. I'm going to play it. Hopefully it'll play, and then we'll see what happens, okay? Give me 1 second.
Okay.
See if you recognize this. That was my childhood time.
I recognize it. I can't put a name on it. I was literally singing along with it, and I'm drawing a blank. So it almost sounds like a John Williams score from one of the Star Wars things, but not quite. And there's almost a little bit of Ennio Morricone spaghetti western in there, too. So you're going to have to help me out here.
Well, that was actually what HBO used to play before they used to have a featured movie. The HBO symbol would fly through the sky, and then...
Okay. I haven't heard that in years. Okay.
And then you'd hear this tagline: this featured film is for mature audiences only. HBO will only play this movie only at night.
At night. Yep, that I remember. And whenever their logo is just static. It's like, you know, that's how they, not quite as melodic.
Right, so that's kind of cool. I kind of figured you might recognize that.
I recognized it on an almost molecular level, but I couldn't put a name to it.
But I thought that was kind of cool. And so anyway, we have Ty Burr as our guest here. We got we got about 16 minutes here with the man. So I'm going to ask you a couple interesting questions. Now, being a film critic, would you say that you don't have very many friends? And I know I asked about the question about how many don't like you, but do you have a lot of – would you say that you don't have very many friends in Hollywood because of the influence factor?
You know what? There isn't a whole lot of influence. As I said, you know, I am me and anybody else who does what I do, we are not going to affect the box office at all for a Fast and Furious movie, for a Star Wars movie, for any of the, for a Marvel movie. That's not, you know, we'll give our opinion. Hopefully we'll, you know, add some context. You got to understand, when I write a review, it's not just about this stinks or this is good. It's about giving the reader some stuff to think about, some context, some background, so, you know, that it's giving them information. I always think of a review as a bunch of a subjective opinion wrapped in objective context. So the information is often the most important part of the review, except if it's a review of Cats when it's just about beating up on a terrible movie. So do I have friends in Hollywood? Actually, yeah, I do have friends in Hollywood. I have one of my closest friends is a TV director. Another guy I went to school with is actually runs an animation company. And the people, more to the point, the people who release the movies and, you know, hopefully get good reviews from people like me, they understand that not everybody who goes to the movies reads reviews, but the people who do read reviews take them seriously. And what it means is it's less important for the big studio blockbusters unless everybody piles on them. And when that does happen, yeah, that can affect the box office. Cats being a perfect example, that, you know, nobody liked that movie and it died a quick death in theaters. But when you're looking at the smaller movies, the movies that, you know, play in the independent theaters, for, you know, an audience that's looking for a little bit different, something a little bit different, yeah, movie critics can absolutely make or break or affect the box office, you know, within their area. So, you know, I wrote for the Boston Globe for 20 years. If I really gave a terrible review to a movie that was really would appeal to people who are the kind of people who read reviews on a regular basis, yeah, that might have some effect on the box office. And like I said, I could get some tart emails from some of the executives at the film companies. But by and large, it's kind of a quid pro quo. They understand what we have to do. Well, I understand what they have to do. Every now and then somebody asks me, oh, do they try and pay you off? No, that's never happened. I've never heard of it happening. It's actually, you know, pretty on the up and up.
So I guess what's going to happen is, you know, Matthias and I had a director on as a guest a couple weeks ago, Rod Smith, and he's doing a trilogy called The Legacy.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to have both Matthias and I and another individual friend of mine as in the movie. And we want to butter you up. We want to butter you up now so you can give us the best reviews ever. And then when just before it comes out, we'll have you back on with us and the director. And then I don't know, what do you like? You prefer ham or turkey or a bottle of Chardonnay or whatever? But we'll get everything taken care of so we get a good review for my film debut, both Matthias and myself.
Oh, yeah. Well, I drive a hard bargain. Remember what I said earlier about they never, you know, try and buy us off? Well, in your case, I'll make an exception.
Perfect.
And I will, yeah, you know, get me some ringdings. And a bottle of cream soda, and you can pretty much have my review.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Matthias, I'll take care of the cream soda. You take care of the ringdings.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So, I guess he gave us permission to kind of talk a little bit. We can't go into the weeds too much, but basically, I guess the thing is they want me to play the part of the serial killer. And I have the face for that, so I'm going to give it my best shot. And then with your help, you can get us up there to the next level. Speaking of other movie critics, I'm sure you've met a lot. Of course, comes to mind Leonard Maltin, Siskel and Ebert, and
mm-hmm.
I'm sure in your line of work you've had a chance to meet them, or maybe not.
Oh yeah, no. You know, I've met Leonard Maltin a couple of times. Roger, I actually did meet him a couple of times in person, but we corresponded through email all the time. Gene Siskel unfortunately passed away before I ever got a chance to meet him. And they're like a half generation older than me, all those guys. But all the people that are out there doing it now, they're my colleagues. I've seen at film festivals. So what's the name of this movie that you guys are in?
It's a three-part series. It's called The Legacy. As a matter of fact, I just text you a picture of the movie poster that came out. The Legacy, currently, I believe, I guess you can get it, you can find it on Apple TV, you can find it on, I should know this because I'm going to be working for the guy. it's just hard to talk and type at the same time. It's available on Momentu, it's available on Popsy, it's on Prime Video, Flex West, Venmo On Demand. So everybody check it out, and that's part three, and I'm going to be in part one and hopefully part two, you know.
Are you Vincent the serial torturer?
Let's see. If I recall, Matthias, you're going to play the cop, right?
Yep, that's the plan.
Do you still have the email over there?
I might be able to find it again. I haven't. I folded up and sent it home with me. I don't know if I have it on my phone or not.
Well, okay. The email that we got, I framed it and I put it up on the wall so everybody could see it work, but. When you go out and review a movie, and McFly's kind of touched on it a little bit, but you think it's going to be like just a disaster, and you got to tell people what you feel. You can't really sugarcoat anything. But when you do that, after you give a review and you give your honest opinion, do you ever feel that it's like, I know some of the people in this movie, and they're like, I don't really want to give a bad review, but I have to give my honest opinion.
That is this is one reason, actually, that when you work for like a big newspaper like the Boston Globe, when you write the feature article where you interview the actors or the stars, you don't write the review and vice versa. Because when you meet people, you get to know them. You know, you want them to like you. It's human nature. And, yeah, that does affect how you write the review. There have been times where I have not written a review, passed on, let somebody else write the review because I know some of the people involved in it. And it just, you don't want to cross the streams, it's something you keep in mind. And it's easy and sometimes fun to just, like, beat up on a movie, but sometimes it's too easy. And you got to remember that everybody made, worked on that movie. They have mothers, and the mothers read the reviews, and it's only so mean that you can get before it's just, it's just about serving yourself and not the movie or the reader.
And how far in advance do you usually get to see a movie to review it before it comes out?
Generally, it depends. It can be like a week ahead of time, 2 weeks ahead of time. Sometimes I'll go to a festival like Sundance. Later this month, I'm going to be flying out to Park City, Utah, and going to the Sundance Film Festival. And the movies I see there, they won't be coming out until, the summer sometimes, or maybe even later in the year. So I'll get a first look at them, but then, closer to the release, I'll take another look. Generally speaking, I only see it once. But in a case like that, you got to see it a second time. Closer to, so you just experience it fresh before you write the review. But generally speaking, we see them about a week or two ahead of time, which is good. Gives you a couple of days to let your thoughts settle.
Do you ever go to the Cannes Film Festival?
I've been there once. It was a madhouse. It's the only time I've ever like lost weight at a film festival because you're just running. Well, the food's really good, but you're just running around like a maniac.
Now, I want to ask you about, working for the Boston Globe. I mean, you're there for, two decades, and I just kind of picture working for the Boston Globe. Are you like on the top floor, the minimum floor? Are you in the basement? And people like walk by your desk and there's like all these movie posters, and then you got stacks of DVDs and tapes up that you got to review. Take us through what it's like working for the Boston Globe and what your desk was like.
Well, for most of my time there, we were in a big building sort of on the outskirts of town. I don't know how well you know Boston, but we're out in Dorchester in a big building, that half of which had the actual printing presses. So, you know, with big windows, you could watch the paper being printed out. And if you see a movie, if you ever see the movie Spotlight, remember the movie that won the Best Picture, Oscar a couple of years ago? They shot part of that at that. If you want to know what my office looked like, go see that movie, because that's what it looked like. But no, the arts department, the arts section was squirreled way, way in the back and behind the sports section. We had no windows. Yes, we had piles of DVDs on our desk. Yes, we had movie posters on the wall. But we used to joke that we weren't anywhere near any windows. We used to joke that once a year on the solstice, a beam of sunlight would come through the sports section, land in the arts section, and then we'd all dance around it.
It was very unglamorous. Ty Burr's our guest here. We got about 4 minutes with Ty. I wish it were 4 more years, but so we can do it before we run out of time. If our fans want to check you out, Steve, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok, an I Hate AJ or Ty Burr's website. What do you got?
I have a Substack newsletter. It's tyburrswatchlist.substack.com. That's tyburrswatchlist, one word, .substack.com. You go there. It's free. You sign up there. 2 or 3 times a week, you get an email from me saying, here's something good in the theater, here's something good on demand, here's a good TV series, just helping you figure out what's out there. And if you want to pay for a subscription, you get some extra stuff. So that's my publishing model these days. And I actually, for the first time in my career, I own what I write. Boston Globe doesn't own it. Entertainment Weekly doesn't own it. So that's a nice change.
So kind of like that that one song by the Rhinestone Cowboy, Glenn Campbell. Now he's getting 99% instead of 2.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. Like a Rhinestone Cowboy. That's me and Glenn. What a great singer that guy was.
Oh yeah, I miss him. He was always one of my favorites. Ty Burr is our guest here. We got about 3 minutes here left with Ty. So looking into looking into 2023 here, what is there one movie like you're really looking, besides mine and Matthias's, but is there any movie that you're really looking forward to seeing that you've been waiting for or looking forward to reviewing?
You know, there's a handful of things. I was actually looking at the list of things that are coming out. I was putting together sort of a list of everything that's coming out 2023. I got to say, I'm looking forward to the next Indiana Jones movie. I didn't think Harrison Ford would ever want to do this again, but by God, he's going to do it again. I think he's got to be decades older than Sean Connery was when Sean Connery played his dad in the, you know, in the other Indiana Jones movie. I'm looking forward to there's a new Martin Scorsese movie, The Flowers called The Flowers of the Moon with Leonardo DiCaprio, that I'm looking forward to. Do you remember Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the animated movie? That was a lot of fun. There's a sequel to that. I'm looking forward to that. There's a movie coming out. I think, when is it coming out? It's coming out in February, called Cocaine Bear. Have you heard about this one?
I've seen the poster. I'm actually going to check it out to see what's going on there.
Yeah. Based on a true story, apparently, of an actual bear that hoovered up a bunch of cocaine in the woods and went on a rampage, and they think they've spun that out as a sort of a Jaws scenario, and needless to say, they're not playing it entirely straight, but nor is the bear, for that matter. But it sounds absolutely silly, and so I'm kind of looking forward to that.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford will be turning 81 years old on July 13th. 81, and he's still going.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, you know, I will say this about Harrison Ford. He's one of the guys that I hope never retires, because I like him. On the other hand, Clint Eastwood, they should take the keys away from the door to the studio to him, because lately his movies have just been bad. Would you agree?
They are. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, he's earned the right to make whatever he wants. I don't have to see it. He wants to make it, fine, let him ride off into the sunset. But I would agree that the last few have been, you know, not all that strong. But when you consider some of the stuff that he's done over the years, you know, come on, let him have his retirement.
Right, exactly. So we got A.J. Benza here, and we're waiting for our next guest to call, so we're going to have you stick with us on our next guest calls. But I'll tell you what, Ty, you have just been so awesome. And I just, you know, I'm glad that your publicity individual, Lisa, hooked us up with you because you have just been awesome. And I do apologize for the, well, I guess for the 2 a.m. text messages, but, you know, time zones have never been my strong suit. I know you're an hour ahead of us, but we just appreciate you and love you for everything that you do, and you're awesome.
It's all good, man. Happy to be on here. It's a lot of fun.
And do you think you'd be willing to come back on with us again? You know?
Sure. Sure,
awesome.
sure. Yeah.
All right. And then what I'll do is if you can do the autograph thing too, I'll send you a I'll send you the mailing address where it's and everything. So anyway, we're just waiting for our next guest. We have Deborah Perkins coming in next. We're just waiting for her to call. But let me ask you this. When you decided to become a film critic, you know, I'm sure you didn't know how it was going to go. What was your major drawback before you decided to start doing
I will tell you, you know, so I did go to college, and I was a film studies major, and I will tell you that my mother was very concerned that I would not be able to make a living at that, and to my surprise and hers, I ended up managing to get a job. But, I will say that, you know, I got out of school, and I bounced around New York for a couple of years and then lucked into that job at HBO because they were looking for somebody that had movie knowledge to, like, you know, look at the films they were being sent and look at their research numbers and stuff. So, you know, you just, as with anything, if you know a subject, you figure out a way to turn it into something that's going to pay the rent. And I just lucked into that because I love movies so much I wanted to know more about them, you know, and I like writing about them. You know, some people ask if you ever wanted to make movies. I never wanted to make movies. I like writing about them and talking to people about them and sharing the good news about good stuff. That's why I do it.
That's awesome. And you know, like I say, you're gonna be 21 on August 17th, and you know, you're just a great guy and an awesome guy. And you know, when you decided to when you left HBO and went to the Boston Globe, what was the biggest eye opener when you went from a television cable network to a major newspaper?
Well, actually, I went from HBO to Entertainment Weekly, which had just started up. I don't know if you remember that magazine. It's still around, but it's mostly
I still have it. Yep.
Now. Yep. That was going into a magazine that was had a lot riding on it and that a lot of people thought was going to fall on its face. And it had a lot of young writers. I was part of a crew of young writers who a lot of them are still around and still working and have sort of risen up in various places. It was like a high school class, graduating class of really fun young writers who, and that to me was, when I was at HBO, I wanted to write my own stuff. I was looking at everybody else's stuff. And all of a sudden, here I was in this pool with other people that were doing the same thing. We were having a blast. That magazine, when it was first coming out in the early 90s, was really doing things differently. It was dedicated to covering the whole landscape of entertainment with a tone that was really irreverent and fun. It's a fun place to work. And as much as I enjoyed HBO, Entertainment Weekly was fun in a way that I really hadn't expected a job to be.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ty, we want to thank you for joining us tonight. I'll be in contact with you. You are so awesome, and we can't wait to have you on again. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take care. I'm looking forward to that ringdings and cream soda.
I appreciate it, man. We'll get it to you by the gross. How's that sound?
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Take care.
All right. All right, Ty Burr, ladies and gentlemen, that was interesting. We got to take a quick little commercial break. We have our next guest, Wayne and Wings. We'll get to them after this commercial break, right after this.
As you know, 89.1 KENS FM is funded through donations by our listeners and sponsorships from area businesses. If your business would like to sponsor KENS FM and reach thousands of young adults and college students every day, contact us at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. Any one of us can help you get your sponsorship started. We have many packages available to fit your budget. So contact us today at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. And thanks for listening to 89.1 KENS FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, our next guest is about to arrive. Ladies and gentlemen, she is the lovely Deborah Cheney Perkins.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm great. Did you want me to do the little thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, this is Debbie Perkins. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday, live Monday, on 90... I'm sorry, I messed that all up. You want me to start over?
Go ahead, that's fine.
Okay, one more time. Hey, this is Debbie Perkins. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday, live Monday, on 89.1 KENS FM, with your host, the icon, the big swing, the godmother of wrestling, Granny Hulkster, and the modern nightmare, Mathesis. I'm going to get that wrong. I'm so sorry. I hope not.
Oh, it's all right. It's Matthias. We'll introduce him in a little bit, but we have Debbie Perkins. It's okay. We have Debbie Perkins, our guest here. We're on 89.1 KENS FM. We got about 25 minutes here, maybe a little longer. But here's what we're going to do, Debbie. If you want to give us a quick little background about yourself, and then I'll ask you a few questions. We'll do a roundtable, and we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions.
Okay. Debbie Perkins. I live in Maine. I started out with doing some paranormal research in 2000, and that led me into doing a little bit of television. And then I decided with another person to start up a radio show, which was called USA Paranormal Radio. And we started that in 2009, and the girl decided she didn't want to be part of it, so I continued to do it. And in 2013, I had already been producing my show plus three others. And then I got a guest on that didn't want the paranormal tech to her name, and she was an actress. So I decided, hey, I'm going to do a show specifically just for actors, directors, producers, musicians, etc. And so I created Hollywood Red Carpet Radio in 2013, and I'm still doing that today. I've won a few awards. I'm the only woman in the state of Maine that's won a podcast award, and I won like three. But I've been very honored, blessed, and so happy to meet you guys and everybody out there. So that's my little thing.
That's awesome. And we have Debbie Perkins as our guest here on 89.1 KENS FM. And, you know, one thing I do want to ask you about, Debbie, and, you know, since we started out as a podcast and we are now on 89.1 KENS FM, what did you have to do to win the podcast award?
That's a good question. actually, originally when I started the USA Paranormal Radio, I was on another network, and I was streaming through these different networks. And so I actually won the first two on a network for the people I actually interviewed. And then this past year for the Hollywood Red Carpet, the last couple of years, I got in a couple of magazines, and somehow I ended up being popular, and I thought I was doing a good thing for everybody, you know, just letting them have their voice and giving them a place to talk about their lives. And somehow I ended up being on the top of a 2 million list. Had no idea that was even happening. So it's kind of rolled itself the way it is. You know, I'm doing nothing special. I'm just doing me, doing the show, and it's just happening all by itself. I don't understand, but I'm happy. It's been kind of nice that people enjoy what we do.
That is awesome. And Deborah Perkins, our guest here on 89.1 KINS FM. We're going to do, before we come back to me and ask the tougher questions, we'll kind of do a little roundtable here, then we'll come back to me. Granny, what do you have for our guest, Deborah Perkins? Go ahead.
Well, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on. So it sounds like you are absolutely very talented in everything that you've done. I mean, that's pretty amazing. What has been your most interesting guest that you've had on your podcast, and who was it?
Okay. I haven't been on your show yet.
We do live. You will, but we do a live show, and then we do a podcast the next day. So whatever happens, happens. You know how that is with live radio. So let me see. The most interesting guest, probably... I got so many people. I got Shally Saron coming on. She'll be interesting. That's not till February. But let me think. Lee Onsberg from Pirates of the Caribbean. He's pretty interesting. Robert Lissardo, who was in The Mule with Clint Eastwood. He was pretty interesting. I think I mentioned this earlier to your 20-year hosts. I had Philo Barnhart, who is the creator of Animaniacs. His mother was in Disney working as an animator, and he actually went from Hanna-Barbera to back and forth between the two. Charles Morissette created The Little Mermaid. He was very interesting. Leon Hendricks was Jimi Hendricks' only sibling. He was really cool. I'm trying to think. I had so many people. I've been doing it 13 years, Hollywood Red Carpet. So I just got oodles and oodles. Billy Huffsey from the old show called Fame, he had a rags-to-riches story, which was quite interesting. I've had Clayton Prince from the Cosby. So I very, very interesting people, all of them.
Awesome.
I love everybody. You know, their stories are great.
Awesome.
Thank you for that.
Deborah Perkins, our guest here on 89.1 KINS FM. We got 19 minutes. I'm going to introduce you to an interesting individual, the Modern Nightmare. And I know that you do a lot of stuff with Paranormal Activity, so he would fit in perfectly there. So, Nightmare, what do you got for our guest? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion.
Hey,
Matthias here.
Matthias, we got to do one quick thing here, and then we'll be right back to your question, all right?
Okay.
You're listening to 89.1 KINS FM, KNNZ-FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
All right, go ahead, Matthias. Sorry about that.
Well, no problem. I mean, it always seems to happen when I'm going to be talking, so I don't know if I'm being targeted or not here. But my main question to you would be, like, back when I was in college, we had a radio class where we had to do our own, like, 2 hour to 2.5 hour, as long as we wanted, radio show. And you could either choose to do yours pre-recorded and put it on to be put on the radio later on, or you could do a live show. A lot of kids that I worked with, they like to do theirs pre-recorded early so they can just record, and if they made any mistakes, they can edit those and then put them on for their shows. Whereas me, I prefer to do mine always live because I just felt it was easier for me to just do it live and wing it and stuff like that. What do you prefer? Would you rather pre-record yours ahead of time and where you can edit it and send it off where you think it's absolutely perfect, or would you rather do yours 100% live all the time and be able to, you know, wing it and stuff like that?
Live. I've always done it live. I think I'd be confused if I had to go backwards. I've always done live, and I like it because it's raw. You don't know what's going to happen. And you are always prepared for the unexpected.
Okay.
We have Debbie Cheney as our guest here. We're on 89.1 KINS FM, and The one cool thing, though, you know, you mentioned all the different guests that you've had on the show. And, you know, not that I'm bragging here, but, you know, when we were just a podcast, it was tough for us to get guests. And now they're, like, coming out of the woodwork, want to be on the show because they've heard about us. Not that I'm bragging, but has there been somebody that you really wanted to get on your show but just keeps flat out refusing?
No, I move on. I don't waste time on people that are busy. If they can't come on or they just want a later date, that's different. But if they're just not interested, I move on. There's so many people out there that want to tell their story, want to advertise their business and their selves, you know, since most of them are actors or, you know, producers doing movies. For the most part, I don't have a problem with guests and like you and all of us that are in radio, sometimes we get great connections and people hook us up.
So, you know, to be honest with you, I actually used to take a different approach. I actually used to take it personally when someone wouldn't want to be on the show. And maybe I guess I shouldn't have, huh?
Nah. No, because there's so many people out there. And they're, and you know, it may be just divine intervention, because you may get the right person on for that night. It might have been the wrong person at the time, but somehow, you know, I've had cancellations where I've had to get somebody at the last minute, and it just was a better show, and I knew it, and I was so happy about it because, you know, you just don't know what'll happen during the show. So it's,
what?
I don't ever take it personally.
Well, you know, in my experience, you know, I mean, you know, we've had guests that have had to cancel and reschedule, you know, for whether it be, you know, time zone difference. And then we do, I know it's 11 o'clock where you're at, and I appreciate you staying up with us. Either a time zone difference or there was a death in the family or, you know, they had a flight issue. I mean, stuff like that happens. But, you know, when someone just cancels out because they say, well, I just decided I don't want to do your show, and then they cancel like 20 minutes before, I mean, you know, it's kind of hard. I mean, I've been able to do it, but it's always kind of hard, though, to get somebody to get on the show last minute.
I've been very lucky. I've actually bounced off a few actors, and they have always given me the opportunity, like, if I needed a spare. They'll come on. And it's funny because I already know their stories by then, but you know what? Sometimes you never know who's listening. So the audience can always change. So,
and, you know,
it's a win-win. It makes for great friends, too.
You know, and I'm hoping in 2023, hopefully it won't happen, but hopefully you'll be willing to come back on with us again. I mean, don't go yet. We got 13 minutes here left with you. But, you know, if we ever need a backup, maybe you'd be willing to fill in for us, even though it's this late at night.
Sure. Of course.
You know, and then one thing I was going to ask you about on your show, I mean, like our show, we have three rules. One, we're not going to pay you for your appearance. Two, we're not going to record it. And three, we're not going to send you questions in advance, because when you do that, you know, it sounds scripted, and it sounds, you know, it gives the guests a chance to prepare their answers when you send them a question in advance. Do you have any specific rules on your show that you have guests follow?
I'm pretty similar, but there's been a few guests that actually did ask ahead of time for questions because they were unsure of the type of questions that I was going to ask. So it was more based on, please don't ask me about my family, please don't ask me about my love life, but I don't. I stick with the script of what I do, which is humble beginnings, what you're doing now and your future goals, endeavors. I throw a lot of fun questions in, and I do that just so that it stops them in the tracks and they go, I never thought of that, you know. So it's always fun to do it that way, and I do not go by rules. I break my own rules, so I try not. I try not to.
Well, you know, one of the things that I hear, and like I say, I admit time zones are not my strong suit. But one of the things that I hear repeatedly is mostly from the female guests. Would you stop calling me at 2 a.m? And
who are you calling at 2 a.m?
I've called a few people at 2 a.m. because, you know, I'm at, you know, like, I'll call back to California, you know, it's like, you know, 4 o'clock where I'm at, and it's like 2 there, you know, it's like, you know, time zones, the whole time zone thing, you know.
I think Africa, I had a couple guests come from Africa. We had to use the, you know, it was 2 a.m. for them. Europe usually is about 1 a.m. because I mean, my show is like 8 Eastern, so it would be 7 for you. But yeah, I've had people come on and stay awake all night long just to be on the show. And I don't expect that, but they do, so I think it's great.
Well, I'll tell you what, let us know when your show airs and how they can listen to it.
My show is on every Wednesday night at Joshu Television Network. You can go to Joshu, the website, and you can click on Channel 2, 3. It's under Dragus Productions. We're also streaming from Pyramid One out of Florida. And in Australia, we're on Light Infinity Network. I'm sorry, I'm usually never in the hot seat, guys, so this is a little bit different for me. I'm usually the host, but I appreciate it. And, yeah, so every Wednesday night, you can't miss it, and if you want to listen to the live show. Now, if you want to listen to the podcast, usually the next day or the day after that, my producer, Mark Witasik, will have it all ready, and he'll put it up on a website called archives.com. Joshu Television Network has their own podcast as well. And then he'll go up on BITCHUTE. I try not to say that because it sounds wrong coming out of me. But that's another podcast upload place where we put our streaming. And I'll share that with you guys so that you can see when you come on the show. You'll understand how it works.
Well, let me ask you this, Granny and Matthias, we can talk about this. What would you think, Debbie, about having the three of us on your show with you?
I'd love it.
Matthias, you down?
Like I said, when life presents an opportunity, let's take it.
Granny, you down?
Absolutely.
And,
it would be fun.
Typically, how long is your show, typically?
It's 1 hour. 56 minutes, exactly. Yep.
All right.
56 minutes exactly, right to the time we shut down. We take one quick commercial, but that's for our veterans. And other than that, I talk about your lives. I talk about your career, mostly your career. it's up to you if you want to add in anything that's personal. But for the most part, I'll just hit you guys with some fun questions.
Well, you know, you mentioned it's only an hour with us. You might have to, like, you might have to break it up into 4 parts. Cause we talk a lot.
I probably will. But I love having repeat guests because things change in people's lives. And it's always good to keep up, you know.
Well, you know, I think what would be perfect is you get Matthias and myself on when we start filming the movie that we've been asked to be part of.
I think that's fabulous.
Any advice you can give us?
I've been in a couple movies myself, and so much fun. So much fun.
Any advice you can give us?
I'm actually part of production now. I'm sorry, advice?
Yeah.
Be yourself.
Okay, well, that's going to be kind of difficult.
Just eat a good meal, get plenty of rest before you go filming. Because the one thing I've learned about filming is when they're asking you to be on cue, you got to be there. Just have it this way. When you have a good night's sleep, you've eaten a good meal, you go there, just be yourself and try to relax, because the one thing the lights will do is they'll actually make you feel like you're overheating. But you'll have as long as you have a great time and you do what you're told, usually you leave there, you'll be very happy. I got a fun story. Do you guys?
Go ahead. Wait, before we do that, we got Deborah Perkins, our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. We've got about 7 minutes here with Deborah. Go ahead.
Okay. I was in a movie where I was killed, and there was blood all over me, which was the fake blood. And the movie was called Sins of Man's Rise and Was. Anyways, So I'm driving home. I didn't change my clothes because we was in a beautiful location and I wasn't going to mess up their bathroom. So I'm driving home. I've got this fake blood all through my hair, all over my clothes. There's a Jeep in front of me with two kids. I'm scaring the life out of these kids. Oh, yes. Yes. They kept looking back. They kept saying, so I'm thinking, oh, they're going to stop and ask me if I need help. Well, instead of stopping and asking if I need help, the parents just took off. So, yeah, that was kind of interesting. So if you do get killed in the blood and you got blood all over you, drive home. See your reactions.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. The role I've been tagged at playing, I'm actually going to be the one that's going to be doing the killing.
That's good.
I'm going to be cast as a serial killer, and I'm really looking forward to doing this, you know, because it's, you know, what's cool about it is it'll give me a chance to show everybody that I've arrived, but, yeah, I'll be playing Simeon, the aging serial killer, and my partner over there, he's going to be playing the cop, and which is not too far out of his wheelhouse because he is a, I guess, security, right, Matthias?
Yep.
Awesome. So now let me ask you this. Now, we asked you about advice. Is there anything you suggest we should never do when we're on set?
Depending on who the main star is, sometimes they don't want to be bothered, I guess. It's a thing where they're in their zone. Some people say just don't bother them. But as far as, like, personally, just be on time. Just be there when they're ready for you. Learn as much as you can behind the scenes, because that will make the next film that you do that much easier to understand. And plus, you never know. You might want to pick up a camera one day. You just never know where you'll... A lot of people in the industry wear more than one hat. So it's always good to learn.
You know, I've had a lot of experience behind the camera. As a matter of fact, mostly sports, not movies. But we do appreciate you giving us that advice because one thing is Matthias and myself. Well, I can't speak to Matthias. He can chime in on this. But one thing is, you know, we want to make sure that this is not just a one and done thing. You know, we want to make sure that we do the right stuff and not the wrong stuff, so they keep hiring us for other projects.
Just be yourself.
Would you agree? Be yourself,
yes,
okay.
Absolutely. Just be yourself, because your character will be meshed in with the serial killer. It'll come across more natural.
Well, how about like when we're on set, I hate to ask you advice because this is an interview about you and your show, but Matthias and I'll be like, fish out of water, basically, for lack of a better term. But when we get on set, would you suggest we introduce ourselves or let people come to us?
I think once you're there, they'll have somebody that will be in contact with you right off because you're a main character. So they'll have a setup for you. Executive producer should connect with you. One of the producers will definitely connect with you. They're the people that will help you. Then, of course, they're taking directions from the director. The director will then call you to set when it's time. And so just practice your lines. Remember your lines. The best thing you can do for yourself is try your best to get those lines down. Even if you have to improv a little tiny bit, try not to go too far off the script unless it's okay with the director. They'll usually let you know. That's the one thing about working with directors is sometimes they're willing to, slide a little on some things. But I say enjoy it. Have a great time. Be yourself and knock it out of the park.
That's awesome. So, Matthias, what are you looking forward to most about this? I haven't really asked you that.
Well, I mean, when it comes to stuff like this, one thing I like to do is be somebody I'm not for a while. You know, you get to step out of reality and you get to be in this type of world. Like you're becoming a serial killer. I'm being a cop. And it's like you get to step out of the world for a little while and you get to distract yourself with a cool film, whatever it is, and you get to be somebody or not. It's just like professional wrestling. When I go to an event, and I go to the venue, everything else in my world stops. Like I don't think about anything else going on in the world. I think about the show, and it's my stress relief. It's my everything for the hours that I'm there. So every time I go to like an event or somewhere I'm going to, everything else in my world stops. So when I get to go and play this cop, and I get to be this cop, and I get to be in this role, my world will be focused on that, and I get to be somebody I'm not for a while, and it'd be pretty cool.
That's awesome. And I'll tell you what, Deborah, we're waiting for our next guest to call in. I don't know what it is. It must be the weather or something. But can you hang with us till our next guest calls in?
Sure.
All right, so now let's kind of we talked about your show and everything. Now I want to ask you a little bit about, you do a lot of stuff with paranormal, and like I say, we'll go up until our guest calls in, but what is the most weirdest paranormal event that you've witnessed or been a part of?
We were working on a case, that's probably about, in 2011. And I was with another team, and we were working on a house that was built in 1730. To look at it, didn't look like an abnormal house. It just looked like a small, little, cute little grandparents' house or something, you know? But there was paranormal activity that was going on according to the owner of the house. Now, she wrote a book called The Paranormal House, so if you ever see that, her name was Sybil Shepherd. Look up that book, and you'll be really interested in what's going on with this house. But according to it, history, there was some Native Americans, and there was some kind of a land issue. Of, you know, back in 1730, that's what would have happened anyways. And so the family that lived there, they had gotten attacked, hung. There was some people that were hung. There was some babies that were killed. There was a lot of tragedy that happened at this house. And then right up to current events, to the 70s, they said some girl was playing with a Ouija board. Well, regardless if she did or not, still there was activity that was not good there. There was a man that supposedly lived there killing animals, all kinds of weird stuff. So we're doing the investigation of the house. I forgot something outside, so I had to go out to my vehicle. And I was walking back into the house, and everybody was upstairs because they were getting ready to do a session. And that means that we're just going to sit and record and ask general questions to the spirits or whatever and see what comes through. So I'm walking in, and all of a sudden I'm stopped dead in my tracks, and it felt like something went through my stomach. And it's like the equivalent of going over a speed bump really fast. So I come in, I just ran to the bathroom, and it just made me lose my cookies. And so I tried to explain it to everybody, and nobody understood. And then later on that night, we were out in the yard, and somebody else had that happen. So after developing a lot of the film, there was a lot of weird, unusual energies, and I will send these pictures to you guys so that you can talk about it on a different time. You're going to see Native Americans in these pictures. You're going to see a man. You're going to see a couple of men. You're going to see animals and a motorcycle. And the motorcycle, I'm thinking, what would there be an apparition of a motorcycle? What's that all about? Like, that doesn't even make sense. It's an artifact. Well, a man, apparently 5 years before we were investigating, had come around the corner, and this way the house was set up, there was a real sharp corner. The sharp corners they call like a dead man's turn or whatever. Well, the guy dumped his bike and got killed. And so that was like an added thing. But I'll send you guys pictures. You can check them out. Some pretty interesting things.
Yeah, Icon's trying to get a hold of somebody right now, so I'll be talking to you for just a few minutes. But yeah, I've actually experienced my first thing with with Paranormal Activity. I was doing a live news show, news program for WDAY here in Fargo, and we were at this place called Bonanzaville, who that was known to be, you know, haunted by spirits and stuff like that. And we were standing in a room, and all of a sudden, I looked behind my co-host, and the chimes and stuff behind her started moving. Like, there was no airflow in that room, but all of a sudden those started to flow. And all of a sudden when that stopped, I felt something over my shoulder, and I pointed one of our devices at right behind me, and it was, you know, glowing red or whatever. They indicated something was there. And then the apparatus that was there ended up calling me a very bad word right by my back. So that was the one time I've ever really interacted with a spirit. But, I mean, if I could, I'd do it again, of course, but I haven't gotten the opportunity to quite yet. So if I ever got to, I would definitely do something like that again just to feel that. That was always a strange feeling that I'd like to feel again if possible.
Deborah Perkins is our guest here on 89.1 Kids FM. And, well, I'll tell you what, Deborah, you have been awesome, and we're definitely going to have you on again, and we'll coordinate with you on when we can be on your show because, I'm sure with myself and Matthias, and especially if you add Granny Hulkster to the mix, it'll definitely be a rating blockbuster for you. So you want to bring our masses to you for you, and then you've been awesome, and we thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, guys, so much. So much fun with you.
Awesome. Deborah Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick little commercial break. And when we come back, we have the main event. So give us a little second, and we'll be right back after this.
The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he is the reason why E-Entertainment is the station it became. Without him, there wouldn't be an E. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the man himself. He's going to give us all about mysteries and scandals. Fame ain't it a something. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you A.J. Benza.
Hey, gang. How are you? I have to get that copy. I can't read the copy. I can't find it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll text it to you. We can do it afterwards.
Okay, cool. That's better.
All right. But before we do that, then, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, I would definitely be if you want to give us a background about yourself, then I'll ask you a few tables questions, and then we'll do a round table, and we'll come back to me. I'll ask you the tougher questions.
Sure. Background on myself. Italian kid from Brooklyn. Got married, moved to Long Island, then got divorced, and my life went at warp speed. I was a journalist, gossip columnist for the New York Daily News for about 8 years, and I thought I'd get some TV offers coming in, and one of those offers was from E! To host this show called Mysteries and Scandals that no one had seen yet. I was already working with E! on a show called The Gossip Show, which was a precursor to TMZ many years ago, and that blew up a lot of opportunities for me. You know, movies came in and book deals came in. I just tended to be quite a different gossip columnists. Most gossip columnists when I was coming up were either females, gay guys, or just not a street kid like me. No one had done that. And they just caught on. Guys like to think that they were getting the real skinny from me. And I had a good look at that. I had a good cut to my suit. The girls liked it too. So I had a ball. And I've been out in California now for 26 years. And I got my podcast going. Fame is a bitch, and politics is a bitch every day. I'm just rocking and rolling, gang.
All right. And, of course, we can let that go ahead. And But other than that, it's PG language because we're on local radio here. But, one thing I do like about – well, one thing I do like about – just to be safe.
You can't say that word on your show? Oh, my God.
Well, we're in Fargo, North Dakota. Things are fun here. But anyway,
yeah, I got you.
AJ Benz is our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got 32 minutes here with AJ. You know, one thing though, I do love when I first saw your show, Mysteries and Scandals, all the different things that you revealed. But when you started doing each show, did you have any input on man, we should do a show on this person, or how did that happen?
Well, the first, when I got there, it was 13 people and one host, 13 producers, one host on the 13th floor, and we got a commitment for 13 weeks. So we didn't know if we were going to keep going. It was a different show for E!, and then suddenly we got an order of 13 more, then an order of 26 more, then 50 more. And when you get to those numbers, we did like 172 shows, I think, you really start to talk around a table and go, you know, it'd be a good one. Why don't we do it? I mean, there's some you have to do, the Clark Gables, God, there's so many of them. Marilyn Monroe, Judy Garland, you got to do those. But then you go find some of these off-the-beaten-path celebrities who had scandal attached to them, and I thought those were some of the more interesting shows.
Now, one of the ones that I thought most interesting was when you did the thing about Bobby Fuller.
Bobby Fuller 4, yeah. I remember that show great because that was my car we'd be using in the episode. I had an old blue, a vintage car. We used that to make like it was Bobby Fuller's car. Yeah, I mean, I started to learn. I always had an interest in celebrities, always, obviously, as a gossip columnist. But then when I got out of here, and now I'm in Hollywood. I was living in Hollywood. I actually lived in Marilyn Monroe's first apartment. That was my first place. A little $700 a month, little hole in the wall. And I started to learn much more about celebrities and the scandals. And we just kind of put those things together. Some of the, like you said, Bobby Fuller probably wouldn't make people's top 100 of scandalous lives, but those shows are great because you all learn something as a team.
Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we'll do a roundtable, and we'll bring my co-host, and we'll bring that back to me, and I'll ask you a couple questions. But now, when you're doing some of these episodes, and you're learning about what happened to them, and you're reporting about how it happened to them, did you ever get any pushback from like any relatives of these individuals about what you said, or that's not true, or why would you say that, stuff like that? Did that ever happen?
No, it never did. In fact, the opposite was true. There were people, we had many famous people come in and talk to us, and some people were dying to let the real truth come out. I remember it was Sal Mineo, right, from Rebel Without a Cause and all those movies, James Dean and such. He, his manager just told us off the bat. He said that, Sal slept with every man in town. It could have been anybody who killed him, somebody with a lover's grudge. You'd learned a lot more from people who'd been journalists in Hollywood for 35 years, producers, other main celebrities. Like, we had so many people come on and talk. I can't remember them all. Red Buttons came on and talked about it got to be such a good show that they would air it at least 10 times a day. They'd run marathons. So people always saw me, and when I went out to dinners and clubs, I'd meet other people who used to work with such and such celebrity, and they would pitch the idea of an episode on their former friend. In fact, Elizabeth Taylor told one of our producers that was her favorite show because she got to see all her friends from the old golden era of Hollywood. So it's pretty cool stuff as you kept moving on to different subjects.
AJ Benz is our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. And for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Air, Monday Live Monday, you like that, go to 89.1 Ken's FM page, like that, do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you an autograph, get you qualified to win an autograph picture from past guests, current guests, or future guests. AJ, would you be willing to send us a few for giveaways?
Said what?
Would you be willing to send us a few autographs for giveaways to our fans?
Right now, I would certainly give you autographs, but right now I'm in between houses and all my stuff is in storage, and it's in a box somewhere in a storage facility. So I couldn't get anything to you in the the immediate future, no, but I will, sure.
Well, as long as we get them by the 1st of July when we have our next thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll probably do it then. Probably.
Awesome.
I'll look.
All right.
I'll look for them.
Okay, I'm going to introduce you to our first co-host, Granny Hulkster. What do you have for our guest, A.J. Benza? Go ahead, Granny.
Well, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
What made you decide you wanted to take that type of career path that you do?
You mean showbiz and California and all that stuff?
Yeah, just in general, what made you decide you wanted that kind of lifestyle? I really want to do this.
Yeah, I always had stars in my eyes. I studied acting. I've done about 10 movies. I always had that in my back pocket that I was going to go to Hollywood and get movie roles, and I did. So I studied when I was younger. So I knew I was going to end up in California at some point. But I was just enamored with celebrity. My mother used to read me the gossip columns in the morning before school because she loved, you know, Cindy Adams, Rona Barrett, Liz Smith, and I just picked up on it. I found it very interesting. And then once you get to Hollywood, it's almost like you don't even go after roles. They come to you. When you have a popular show and they see how you are on television and what your cue factor is, meaning people like you or don't like you, then people come to you with an idea for a show or can you host this show? Can you appear on this telecast? And you go, yeah, sure. And it's like on a conveyor belt for a while. You're not even making the moves. They're making the moves for you. And the money's always good. There were lean years in there, too. But, you know, in the beginning, I come fresh out of New York City. I land in Hollywood, and there was nothing but work for, like, a good 8 straight years. It was a good run.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. A.J. Benz is our guest here on 89.1 Kent FM. And I'll tell you what, man, you are just an awesome guy, and I'm not trying to butter you up and I don't want you to hang up, but you are just awesome. That's why I want to introduce you to another great guy. His name is the Modern Nightmare Matthias. What do you have for AJ Benza? Go ahead, Matthias. Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, Matthias here. Welcome onto my part of the program. My main question to you would be, I was looking up some details about you before we did our show today, and I noticed you have this show called Case Closed. And I see you from the episode guide, you've got a few interesting ones like Tupac and Biggie, Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, O.J. Simpson. What was one of your favorite episodes to do and why? Was it because of details, like the people you're interested in? What was the main reason for one of them being your favorite episode?
To me, Marilyn Monroe has been done so often, it's hard to get anything new into an episode. But I love the Tupac and Biggie ones because I was a very good friend of Tupac's in the early to mid-90s before he died. And I was out with him a lot. So I knew him as a friend. I knew a side of him that he didn't want the real public to see. He had this mentality that he had to stay strong and tough and streetwise. But I knew about the people who went after him and killed him. So I felt like on that episode, at least, I could bring what I knew for a fact. In fact, I kind of steered that episode not to producers. I said, this is wrong. This didn't happen. You know, I would mention certain guys and say, no, 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 that's not what happened. I know exactly who killed Tupac, you know. So those were great episodes because those guys, their music, like Biggie and Tupac, we all came up together in the early 90s. And, you know, to see them get shot so early and still leave such a mark on society and the murders aren't solved, supposedly, that really struck home for me.
Okay. And then on that show, would there have been a case that you've always wanted to do that you haven't gotten an opportunity to do yet?
Unfortunately, I can't think of one yet. I mean, there have been hundreds of deaths since the show went off the air. I mean, they could run Mysteries and Scandals again and do 172 new episodes. But it's a funny business, TV. The Reels channel only gave that show an 8-week commitment. So we knew the shows we were going to do. If it continued on, then I would have pitched some ideas as well. I love Natalie Wood's story. Robert Blake's story I like, you know, shooting his girlfriend, whatever you want to call it, wife. That happened around the corner from where I live. So I would have pushed on those episodes. Those are really intriguing stories.
Okay.
Well, you know, one that's kind of topical right now, and we have A.J. Benson to get us here on 89.1 Kens FM. We got 22 minutes here with our buddy. You know, one that's kind of like topical right now, you know, with I Want to Dance with Somebody, Whitney Houston, I think that would be an interesting episode.
Oh. Yeah, it would be. I knew Whitney as well. Not to be great friends with her, but I knew her on a hello, goodbye basis, and her death. You know, people act shocked by it, but Whitney was always a big party girl that didn't come out in the press. She was very protected. In fact, she had a female lover for many years named Gail Crawford, and she loved her. But the music industry, particularly Clive Davis, wouldn't allow that. They wouldn't allow her to be seen with her girl, Robin Crawford. They said, you can't be seen with her. It's going to ruin your image. And, you know, she just lived like a sad life for a while. She was magnificent, but she wasn't her true self. She loved Bobby Brown, but Robin was really somebody she was head over heels for. And then that whole family, from the daughter to her to the daughter's boyfriend, all dead, all drug overdoses, it's terrible.
You know, you mentioned that he signed on for 8 weeks, so that would have been 8 episodes. So your first 8 episodes, because I've recorded them all back in the day. This was,
right,
of course, before DVR, but Lana,
yeah,
Turner, George Reeves, Marilyn Monroe, James Dean,
yeah,
James Mansfield, Fatty Arbuckle, Thelma Todd, and Bugsy Siegel. That's easy for me,
yeah,
to say. Those were your first 8 episodes.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. We even went to Vegas to do Bugsy Siegel. We did a 2-day trip in the Red Rock Mountains with the background. That was a big deal for E to do that way back when. They didn't have a lot of money back then. Yeah, those 8 episodes were really strong, and you can't miss with names like that. And everybody, on top of that, everybody who's a little enamored with Hollywood likes to build their celebrities and their stars up. We like to treat them on a golden bridge or a tower. And then, admittedly, something happens and we start to tear them down. And it's a sad fall. But all those actors and actresses had that same rise and fall. And I got to be honest, a lot of it has to do with this town and the business they worked in. Some of these girls, like Judy Garland, was plied with uppers and downers when she was filming movies. She was only 16 years old. Here's some uppers to work all day for 14 hours. Here's some downers to go to sleep for 8 hours. You know, they just went through the mill with these young actresses.
Now, my next question is, when you're doing a deep dive into these different events and different actors and actresses and what happened, of course, you know, my favorite episode of all will always be your one from, let me get the date because I remember it so well, August 3rd, 1998, when you did Buddy Holly. That was my favorite episode.
Yeah.
That was my favorite episode of all time, of course. Everybody knows that Buddy Holly was on his way to here, Fargo, North Dakota, when his plane crashed,
yes,
in Iowa. And another thing that people don't know, and you might know this, Del Shannon, his last concert was here in Fargo because he committed suicide a week after he performed his last concert here.
Yeah, I do know that. I know that. You know the story better than me here in Fargo. But, I mean, they flipped the coin that night. So who was going to take the bus? Who wanted to take the airplane? Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens.
Richie Valens,
and
right.
Whoever lost the flip of the coin went on that Ricky plane that a week before they were told this needs to go in for a lot of repairs. But they were just trying to make that money, go from city to city. And terrible story, really terrible story. In fact, I was just in Nevada in a bar, an old saloon. Can't think of the name right now. But it was famous because the mountains behind her were where Clark Gable's he was in love with Carol Lombard. Her plane crashed into those mountains, and Clark Gable used to sit in that saloon and look at the mountain and cry. And I just went there a couple of times a few weeks ago. Really old school saloon on a desert highway with nothing near it. You know, it's like you still feel those people around you. It's very strange.
You know, one thing I was going to ask you, you know, it's like, you know, they have all these, you know, you did all those episodes about different things. This is kind of two questions on this. Now, when you see movies come out now about, you know, famous people and, you know, you did your show for many episodes, like, for instance, Babylon right now. You did, you know, you did an episode, Beverly Hills Babylon. But when you're watching these shows, are you like, man, I wish they would relaunch this and let me do a show and do a deeper dive in some of these subjects?
Yeah.
Do you ever come? Feel that way?
No, you don't have to. E changed their programming dramatically with the Kardashians. They became a completely different network. And a matter of fact, maybe 8-10 years ago, they were doing a reboot of Mysteries and Scandals, and they didn't ask me. These are all younger kids who are now producers, and they hired Soledad O'Brien from you know, her journalism career, and it was an awful show. It only ran 8 episodes, but they could have put me back in those suits, and I could have walked the streets of Hollywood, and everybody would have come back and seen that show again. They screwed up.
You know, and that's not an ego thing. I mean, that's just a true thing. It's like, and I'm not just saying this because it's you. This is the truth. When they relaunched that show and it was not you, I couldn't watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I just couldn't.
The ratings were awful. You know, E! Went very feminine. A lot of their shows were based around women. So the right choice for them was to get a newscaster, a female, and she punched all the boxes, you know, black, Cuban, firm, a good career in journalism, and a woman. And back then, that was really important for E! When E! Took a shot with me, you have to remember, I came to Hollywood and got work because at the same time, a little show called The Sopranos was number one, and everybody's looking at these Italian guys beating each other up, murders, you know, and I happened to hit right when Sopranos hit in L.A. So, I mean, I knew those guys. I'd see Jimmy Gandolfini at restaurants. So E! Was so different, although I wouldn't have got that shot that time either. But they really messed up. We could have been doing this again. 20 years later, there's so many more deaths, and I got a second generation of fans now who there's about 15 shows on YouTube, I think, that one of my producers was smart enough to do that. And I see them on YouTube here and there. And then newer fans are seeing that and going, wow, this show's so cool. Where is this show? When did this happen? But they were like 4 years old when it came out. So, you know, in Hollywood.
You know, and the thing is, I mean, a lot of the shows, you know, unfortunately, you know, we'll never get to see like a DVD release of all the episodes or anything, but, you know, like you can go on YouTube, type in Mysteries and Scandals, and you can see all the highlights. But one thing I was kind of curious, you know, when you're doing all these, I don't know if you want to call them exposures of famous people, but when you're doing this, being in Hollywood, did you ever worry about your safety talking about these different subjects? Do you ever worry about your safety?
No, because never in Hollywood. And in fact, I still got movie work and TV work, even though I was telling – see, they were more scared of me when I had a pen in my hand in New York City writing gossip. That was more scary for celebrities. But not when you're out here and doing a TV show. They didn't care about that. But I'll tell you, part of the reason why I carry that show close to my heart is because, you know, we talked about addictions and problems and divorces and all these horrible things that happen to people. All those things were almost simultaneously happening to me. And I really felt a close tie into that show. You know, some drug taking here and there, a divorce, you know, trouble with the cops, a lawsuit. And suddenly you're going, oh my God, I'm just like the people I talk about. I could be a mystery and scandal one day. But thank God, no.
You know, and then the other thing I was going to ask you, and, you know, don't take this question the wrong way, but, you know, being the host of the show and seeing how, you know, some of the lives got ruined the way they did, are you, like, thinking, you know, I think I'm going to put myself on the straight and narrow so they don't do an expose about me when I pass away?
I'm such an open book. I've written 2 books. I've told every secret about me. There's no dirt that people can go dig up. I never worried. Because I wrote gossip, I knew the best way to get around a scathing story is to just tell the truth to somebody. Tell the truth. Because if you dodge and lie here and lie there, it's going to be a bigger story. So I always believe in telling the truth. Matter of fact, that's why the podcast I have is pretty successful, because it's just raw honesty about myself, about my failings, mixed in with, you know, news about famous people and gossipy stuff. But I find truth is a great medicine. It kind of makes people feel calm around you, I think. Because a lot of people have gone through hard times in life, but not a lot of people want to talk about it. So to me, it was fine. I never worried about that. I like to get my dirt out there myself.
You know, what's interesting is one of the episodes that you did on Mysteries and Scandals, aired on July 13th, 1998, the quiz show Scandal. And what's interesting about that is they did a movie quiz show,
yeah.
It had Robert Morrow, and the interesting thing is you were in an episode of Numbers with Robert Morrow, the star of the, one of the stars in the movie about the quiz show Scandal. Did you guys ever talk about that, or did you not get to see him
on
the set?
I only had a day and a half on that TV show, and I didn't know. I didn't know he was there at all. I didn't realize it. I was doing so much stuff at that point that I couldn't remember. I remember they had me on Saturday Night Live. They flew me out to come on the stage and do a couple of skits with Jerry Seinfeld and David Bowie. Really, it was really heady stuff. And one year, my stepson comes running downstairs and he says, "They're doing an episode about you on Family Guy." I said, "What's Family Guy? What?" And I looked, I said, "Oh my God, I shot this years ago. I don't watch animated shows." And the episode was about me. So he couldn't believe it. So I started to forget what I was doing. There's so many things coming in, and you spend an hour here, a day and a half there. And, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on elsewhere in my life, writing books and stuff, writing screenplays. So, you know, it just happened like that. I wish I would have seen him and talked to him. That would have been great.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that particular episode of Family Guy, Season 3, Episode 13, the third DVD in the series,
right.
Where A.J. Benz is the voice, and the episode is Brian Willows and Peter Swallows, 2002 on Family Guy. And
yeah.
I remember that episode because I'm like, I was not a fan of Family Guy, but I'm like flipping through. It's like, I'm like, that sounds like A.J. Benza, and I looked it up, and yeah, they were using your voice in the series, which was kind of interesting. Did you ask them for residuals?
Let me tell you something about Family Guy residuals. I couldn't believe, but now they're not much. Now they're maybe $100, but they for 15 years. Four, three times a year. I'd get checks for $3,000, $2,800, $4,100. It goes to Europe. It goes on DVD. It goes on whatever else there is. And I couldn't believe the money that comes in from a silly little animated show. But you know what the people make who work on that show? Oh, my God. Millions and millions a year just to do a voice. It's really,
well, let me ask you this.
If you hit it big, you can just go – bananas with the money.
Let me ask you this.
It's crazy. It goes to your head.
What is the lowest residual check you received?
A penny. A penny, 2 cents. Because if I did a movie that didn't do well, like 24 years ago, there's nothing there. They're squeezing money out of God knows what store or what DVD they're selling. I don't know. But everybody's gotten those penny and two penny checks. I just throw them out. There's a bar in Santa Monica, I believe, that's called Residual. And people bring their checks that are really laughably funny and low, like a penny, 2 pennies, 3 cents, and the guy puts them on the wall. So it's funny. It's a funny thing out here. But, you know, when you really got a few things going, a couple of movies, a TV show, then those checks, man, they come in four times a year, each quarter. And, wow, you go, thank God. And I did Rocky Balboa. And I don't mind telling you this. I got paid $5,000 to do no, it was $8,000 for three weeks of work. And then
you played
when
LC.
The movie came out, yeah, LC Lucco. When the movie came out, I got the same amount of money again, another $8,000. Then it goes to DVD, $8,000. Europe, $8,000. And that was back in 2006. I had to have made $200,000 in that movie. And that happens to so many people out here. Once you spend time on a set with a bit, like a Rocky movie, you know, those checks, they get sold all over Europe. So those movies do well for a long time. So that was really fun stuff, too. Now the checks are not anything to a Rocky check will still be several hundred dollars, but not like the old days. They were great. They were great. And Mysteries and Scandals was international. So I would go to finance department and say, is there any checks for me? And they'd find like a $30,000 check in Spain and Portugal. And, oh, yeah, it got crazy. It got crazy.
We got A.J. Benson, I guess, here on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got 6 minutes here left with A.J., maybe a little more after that. A.J., do you have that script so we can go ahead and do that so we don't forget about them? I just checked
I'll do it right now.
All right, I'll give you
right
a countdown.
Now.
We'll go ahead. I'll give you a countdown. Ready? Five?
I know Matthias. Okay.
All right, ready?
Countdown,
five?
I'll do it.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Hey, this is A.J. Benza. You're listening to the Attitude Big... Sorry. Hey, this is A.J. Benza. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live Monday on 89.1 Ken's FM with your host, the Icon, the Big Swing, the Godmother of Wrestling, Granny Hulkster, and the Modern Nightmare, Matthias.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So now one thing I was going to ask you, you mentioned that, I'm sure you're not going to like me asking this, but, you mentioned you get these checks for like a penny, two pennies or whatever, and, just throw them out. Did you ever think of maybe donating them to a charity or something to have them auction off the check with your name on it?
I never did. I mean, it's such a ridiculous amount of money that I feel stupid donating it. I mean, if I get a check for $5, I'll put it in the bank. I'm not going to throw $5 away. But, 19 cents, I feel jerky going to the bank and doing that. But, all right, that would have been a good idea, a charity. I mean, if they started that with all actors, wow, that charity would have a lot of money. That would be a good charity.
Well, yeah, the reason why I was going to ask you is, next time you get a check for a penny, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $5 to send me the canceled check for a penny so I can put it up on my wall. Because I can say I have a canceled check from A.J. Benza.
That's funny. I think I have some checks here that are a little low. Wait a minute. That's $6.49. That's a keeper. Here's one for $9. Still low. Yeah, $8. If I have a couple of pennies, I'll tell you now. Now, 11, 12. No, but they're going to come in. They're probably at the P.O. box waiting for me right now. It's been a month since I've been there.
Look, here, we'll put this, it's being recorded right now. Here's what I'll do. If you get a check for a penny, two penny, anything under $4, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, okay.
If you'd be willing to autograph the check for me with for a penny, I will send you $5 for a penny check.
That's a funny idea. I'll do it, I swear. I'll do it. That's
awesome.
You got a bet. You got a deal.
So A.J. Benz is our guest here. We got about 3-4 minutes here left with A.J. Me and Matthias have been asked to be in an upcoming film that's going to be filming starting in May. I'm going to ask you this. Because you're on Hollywood, you've been out there, what advice could you give Matthias and myself when we walk on the set for the first day?
I don't know if any big actors are going to be in it, but you're probably not going to want to go up to them and talk to them right away. They're an odd bunch of people. Actors like to get very serious at work. And I would say the other things are be on time, be early, and hit your mark. That's all they care about. There's a little piece of tape on the floor. Hit your mark. Know your lines because everybody's the same. Everybody wants to get home early. They don't like people who don't know their lines, so that bothers people. So know your lines. Hit your mark. And be careful who you talk to, because not every idol of yours you think is going to be a nice person. I've had some bad experiences where, I love this guy's work, and then you meet them, and they're just blah. They're dull. It's just a different – a lot of actors, if you don't have a script for them, they don't fill up with this great bit of personality. And other actors do have that personality, but some just want the script, and they come alive then. And for them, it's just work. It's just work.
So so would you say that you have been big time by somebody?
Have I been? I didn't like Bruce Willis. had a problem with me. He didn't like gossip. I forget what I wrote. He was very popular with Demi Moore back in the day. And I'm sure I said something. My column was very funny but sarcastic. And we were at a table for dinner one night, and I sat with him and some guys, and he didn't look at me. He didn't want to hear a story. He just completely never met my eye line. And then I met, you know, I've gone out with Raquel Welch, and all she wants to do is talk and have fun and laugh and have a martini. It just depends on the person. It's a strange phenomenon.
That's awesome. We can do this here. If our fans want to check you out and see, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
I have everything. I mean, I don't have big numbers because I just my accounts were taken down several months back, so now I'm starting up. I'm just AJ Benz on Instagram, a period dot period, and you'll find me under AJ Benza. Facebook is the same thing, and I'm not a big Twitter guy. I don't care for Twitter. But I'm the real AJ Benz at Twitter as well.
And if our fans want to check out your podcast, when is it and how can they hear it?
Okay, Fame Ain't It a Bleep. That's a daily show. 5 days a week is the free show. And 3 days a week I do Patreon behind a paywall. You can join for $5 a month. People pay 10. Most people pay 5. It's a great deal. You get, for that $5, you get 8 podcasts a week, and it comes out to like pennies for $5 for, you know, 30 some odd shows a week. I do show every day, and I have Politics as a Bleep that runs about twice a week. So I keep busy with this stuff, but thank God I get to tell all my stories, and that's really what the podcast is about. Yes, I give you gossip because I'm still up on everybody, but I interweave my stories with those people from years back, how I knew them, what they were like. It gives you a fresh perspective on these people we call movie stars.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, AJ, you are awesome, and we thank you for staying up late with us and being with us, and you are awesome, and we thank you for being with us, and if we didn't scare you away too much, we'd love to have you back on again.
Give me a call. No problem. I love it. That's great, guys. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, AJ. All right. AJ Benza, ladies and gentlemen, that was awesome. Hey, guys, we're not going to be on the air next week because we're going to take a little break. But episode 300 will be with us in 2 weeks. And you guys remember who we're going to have on in 2 weeks?
Yep.
Yep.
January 16th, 2023 is next time we hear us, episode number 300. And it's going to be all about Eric Eazy-E Bischoff. And we're going to have him on with us. And until then, there will be a show on next week. We won't be live, but you'll be able to hear one of our greatest hits, if that's a thing, being on radio and having the greatest hits. But I'll tell you what, I just want to let you guys know, I love doing this with you, both of you guys. We love our listeners, and I'm not going to get y'all emotional and birdy here, but you guys have just been great. And if you look at what we built from when we started to where we are now, and I know our fans are tired of me saying that, but look where we are now compared to what we started, you know, a couple years back, 6 years ago, to be honest with you. And you guys are wonderful. I was kind of hoping for a comment, but anyway.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and Matthias, you're going to be here with us in 2 weeks, and Granny will be here with us in 2 weeks, and until then, we want everybody to be safe, love each other, care for each other, and with that all being said, remember, as always, it is not goodbye, it is just good night. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
You think you know me?